Good morning. Let's take our blue book and we'll turn to the song, Come Thou Almighty King. It's number 41. And in this song, we have eight names or eight ways of describing God. So we realize, wow, that's a lot. Almighty King, Father, Ancient of Days, Incarnate Word, Spirit of Holiness, Holy Comforter, Spirit of Power, 1 and 3, and it's about the Trinity, this song, or one way to think about it. And stanza 4 says, "To the great 1 and 3, eternal praises be." Let's stand, please.
Welcome to you all this morning to our worship service. I'm sure you've greeted each other, either coming through the door or in the foyer, or those you chose to sit beside. May you feel God's spirit and love in this place in this next hour. A quick story, and I hope Esther, our daughter, doesn't mind me sharing her experience in Newfoundland about looking for a church community there. For young people, it was difficult the last 2 years, I think, to connect physically to a church group, and the same for her. So now she's in a new home, and she thought she would explore what was available. In her mind, she didn't really know where to start. You look in the internet or you look in the advertisements for your community and say, well, do I want to try this or that? But on one of her vet stops, the farmer there, who could actually pronounce her last name, which she thought, you know, the Newfoundland people can't say Dirksen, I don't know why. They started chatting and he was very friendly and they've connected, and she said she was Mennonite background, and then he started talking about his neighbors, who also belonged to a small conservative Mennonite group. So Esther went home, and she researched it, and it was about half an hour away, and decided to go and try it the next Sunday. We asked her, so how did it go? They were so welcoming and open to having her there. She just felt very warm about it and felt accepted by the friendly gestures and words that were spoken to her. So she's gone back again. And we'll see how that works. But I think this reminded me that I sometimes take this place for granted and the people here that give us a place to gather and connect, to worship God, to be part of the body of Christ. It can draw us closer, and we can feel a sense of belonging. So let us gather today and worship.
Let's take our blue book again, and we want to sing Number 99, we praise thee, O God. Now, some of you maybe have heard about, years ago they had these revival meetings, and this song is about reviving. But this goes way back before 100 years. This is like Habakkuk 3, verse 2. In our own time, revive. And Psalm 85, verse 6. Will you not revive us again? That was in the days when they talked Hebrew. Like, we know the word shalom. Or Isha, Shochevet, Margalotav, which I learned in seminary one time, which was like from a different passage in the Bible. Sounds interesting. What an interesting language. So in this prayer that we're going to sing, we're going to pray to be revived for a new day, for a new week, for the sake of God and God's kingdom, for service to God and our neighbors near and far away, whether family, friends, or enemies. Let's stand.
Let me add my welcome to the welcomes you've already received, to those who are here and to those who are at home or in their other various places. We can look at the bulletin and see the different opportunities that we have for this week. Today we have, we're on the radio, a different service. Thursday, Board of Music and Worship will meet, and Friday, the ladies will have coffee together at Smitty's. You see, in a couple of weeks, June 26th, we will have a guest, Larry Epp, who doesn't feel like a guest, he feels more like a brother to us. And because of that, we are also going to have a potluck together. We enjoy sitting together and having a meal together with them. The auction at MCC was held here yesterday afternoon. I don't know if anyone's going to report on that. And the others, these are prayer requests that we will pray for, continuing to pray for the situation in Ukraine, as well as especially the church in China. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we humble ourselves and come before you. We worship you as God, above all, the creator of all. We add these simple words of acknowledgement to the beautiful words that we just recently sang, recognizing all of your qualities, your different names. We run out of words, and sometimes we just feel so inadequate in even speaking to you directly. It's easier to speak with our neighbors or to talk about you, and yet when we come before you, we're struck dumb. And we thank you for the aid of the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray, even when we don't know how to pray. When we know that we are not what we ought to be, and we confess our sins before you, we recognize that we do not match your holiness. But we pray and we invite you to continue to work within us and continue to transform our lives and the way that we interpret our world and our own personal circumstances and the choices that we make moment by moment, day by day. Sometimes those choices are simply even in thought, choosing to think your thoughts rather than our own natural desires and thoughts. We need your help. And we are so thankful that you stoop down to our level. You condescend to us. You walk with us. You journey with us. You care about us and all of the things that we face. And we pray today for these things that we have raised, especially today, because these are urgent. They're important to us right now, and especially for health. There's all of these and so many more. Even as we say these things, we're reminded in our own minds of other people that we know and that we care about and that are struggling, or people who have been struggling for so long they don't even want to talk about it anymore. You know what we face. You know our hearts. And we ask that you would continue to encourage and strengthen and embolden us, recognizing that this journey here on earth is not all that there is. There is more. And so we pray for the churches that are working together with so many other people, other church members, all the churches in Swift Current, as well as the other churches in Saskatchewan. We pray for Eigenheim. We pray for Bridgeway, and we pray for their leaders. We pray especially for Camp Elam, which is the ministry of this church. And we pray that you would help us to find someone who would cook for everyone there. Thank you that we have directors. We pray for them, give them wisdom and insight and enthusiasm. We pray for all of the kids that are going to be there this summer, the cabin directors, as well as those that are coming for a week at camp. But we do plead, help us to find a cook, someone who will also be blessed by this ministry at the camp. Farther afield, we pray desperately for the situation in Ukraine. Plead and we pray that this war would come to an end. Beyond that, we don't know how to ask. Help those who make decisions, who have power, who are granted authority. Help them to make good decisions for people. And so we pray for our own leaders too, that the decisions they make, the laws that they enact, would be for our good, for the good of all. We pray also for the church in China, all of those people and the different ways that they are struggling. You know who they are, you know their leaders, and we pray that your church would continue to grow there according to your will. We bring all of these things, as well as the other things that we didn't speak out loud. Keep reminding us throughout the week to come to prayer constantly, over and over again, that our prayers would rise as an aroma before your throne. And now we join our voices the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I will be reading verses from Proverbs 8, verses 1 to 4, and 22 to 31. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, or the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. And reading from Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. As you saw or see in your bulletin, it is Trinity Sunday. And as you heard in this scripture from Romans chapter 5, we have all of the characters or the parts of the Trinity outlined quite clearly and well defined there. I could look only at Romans 5, and then we would be satisfied with thinking we understand Trinity Sunday, or at least we did our part, we did our best for Trinity Sunday. But I would like to invite us not only to look at that, but to expand our consideration of that book, of Romans 5, and all of Romans, in fact, and overlap it or interact it together with Proverbs. And the reason I like the Proverbs, this was in the lectionary, this wasn't just off the top of my head, and the reason I like this text in particular in the Proverbs is because it speaks in the first person voice. Wisdom is speaking to us and calling to us. And I'd like for us to have this voice of wisdom and put it together with the voice that we hear in Romans. Now, the two are not usually brought together, and that's why I want us to think about them together. And then I suggested, let's think with both sides of our brain. Some of you might say, well, I do that all the time. Good. Well done. A lot of us don't. Or some of us don't even understand, what are you talking about, two sides of the brain? I have one brain, I use it as much as I can, done. And this could be less scientific and more anecdotal, because we talk about the right side and the left side of the brain, or we talk about, you know, those who are scientifically minded, and then those who are more emotional. I don't know, those might be the different categories. So if you look at these two different texts, I thought they were kind of the extremes of those two sides. Often we will take one verse of Romans, maybe two, three at the most, and that's all we can stomach because it's so heavy. It's weighty theology. So we just take little snippets here and there, and we say, okay, I understand that. But when you go on and on and on, suddenly you're just lost. You've lost even the few little good things that you had initially, because it's complex. I would say that's the right side of the brain. Then you go back to the Proverbs or the Psalms, if you prefer, and it's called wisdom literature. So if you like literature, if you enjoy reading, if you like stories, or if you enjoy being carried away in your imagination, as we have encouraged you in many different ways and times, you'll enjoy Proverbs. And this little piece that Elaine just read, we have the woman wisdom, the female voice, and she's saying, I was there with God at the beginning, before any of this was created. And already we've lost some people thinking, oh, that was a long time ago. Even with Ken's talking about songs that were long, long ago, and then he went to Habakkuk, and both Elaine and I were chortling here. That's a very long time ago. So imagine going all the way back to before creation, before God produced the hills, before the rivers, before, and then suddenly some of us, our imaginations are kindled already and we don't even hear what's being spoken, and we are traveling throughout creation. There are some that say, oh, don't bother me with talking about creation or the weather or the crops or the rain that we need or on and on and on. And yet Proverbs invites us to do just that. So let's bring the two together. And what happens when we think creatively and imaginatively with the voice of wisdom and we look at Proverbs together with Lady Wisdom? It becomes a little bit, I find it, more interesting. Because whenever you add voices, it always becomes more interesting. Some say, no, that means you just won't get anything done. add too many voices, too many people on a committee, and suddenly you don't get anything done. Let's start with wisdom. Let's start with Proverbs. And the passage that Elaine just read, Proverbs 8, 1 to 4, and 22 to 31, I won't reread what she just read, but I would like to highlight the fact that wisdom is calling. Hello? Are you out there? Wisdom is calling, not just hinting, not hiding in the bushes, not secretive in any way. Calling out in the streets, calling to everyone. So we can't say, oh, not talking to me. Wisdom isn't for me. Wisdom isn't what I understand. I'm not into that. Wisdom is calling to everyone, everywhere. So we cannot eliminate ourselves. We can't pull ourselves back. Wisdom was before all creation. And then I would like for us to keep in mind, before we jump into Romans, this same wisdom that was with God throughout all of creation, through every piece of creation, then look towards the end of that passage. Verse 30, I was beside him. This is verse 30, beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight. This is not heavy. This is not boring. This is not dull. Wisdom was before God at creation, and daily his delight. What do you delight in daily? I delight in a good cup of coffee daily. Some delight in a nice little bowl of ice cream daily, or music, or just these simple things that make your heart happy. That's what wisdom is. I was daily his delight. And what was wisdom doing? Rejoicing before him always. When we think about wisdom, we just get this wrinkle on our brow, needing a little bit more Botox. The crease in our forehead and like, okay, straining for wisdom. Or we say, oh, I need wisdom because I have a big decision coming up. Or I have an important thing I'm supposed to do. I need wisdom. Please pray for wisdom. Do we? Here, wisdom is saying, look, I'm all around you all the time. And I'm calling out to you. Are you hearing me? And the result, I'm rejoicing before God always, rejoicing in God's inhabited world and delighting, believe this or not, delighting in the human race. We should all be rolling our eyes right about now because we are the human race. We live with the human race and we know what the human race is like, don't we? And the news constantly telling us what the human race is up to. So what is the voice that we are constantly hearing? Is it wisdom that's calling out? The wisdom that is delighting in God's creation of the human race. Wisdom is delighting in each one of us here. Not because we're so delightful, but because we are part of God's good creation. This is the effect of wisdom. The opposite throughout the book of Proverbs is always folly. They are contrasted, wisdom or folly. And have we gotten so much into the habit of listening to and hearing Lady Folly instead of wisdom? The folly of focusing on the errors of humanity, on the way that we are destroying God's good creation, of feeling that God is distant and that we cannot touch or grasp or sense God's presence. These are voices of folly, not Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is coming close and saying, I am delightful and I am delighting in you and I am rejoicing. This is the effect of wisdom. It's rejoicing. Whoa, too much rejoicing in church. No. countercultural. Isn't that what we want to be? Well, now we need to also practice a little bit of counterculturalism even in our Mennonite culture, recognizing it's God's word culture that we are encouraged to follow. Maybe we've erred a little bit too much. Let's listen again to wisdom. So before we spend too much time on that one side of the brain, let's go flip over to Romans chapter 5. Therefore, now we won't get into all the therefores because there's a lot of them. Throughout all of these chapters, Paul is therefore, therefore, therefore. And I guess it's to chop up the meat into little itty-bitty pieces. You can't eat the whole steak at one time, right? You have to slice off a piece. Well, you don't have to. If you're a vegetarian, you won't do that. But I think that's what Paul is doing. He slices it and says, therefore. So here, therefore, since we are justified by faith. And for those who are thinking about the beyond, or thinking about their loved ones who have gone to the beyond, wondering, where are they? Did they achieve the thing their life was hoping for and aiming for? Right here, Paul assures us, scientific, factual-minded, therefore, since we're justified by faith, not justified by what we do, not how good we were, how many committees we were on, how many services we attended, how much we gave to the church, none of those things, they don't justify us. Those are examples. Those are ways that we act out our faith. We are justified by faith in God. Justified by this faith. And then, peace. Because of that justification, peace. Countercultural. There is no peace in this world. But with God, there is peace. And this peace we revel in and we rejoice together with wisdom, delighting daily in God's presence. Because our faith in God has justified us and has given us access to grace. Access to this grace, God's grace poured out on us. Not only grace and peace, but hope. The hope of glory. And watch out, spoiler alert, there's more countercultural coming up. Right here, Paul says, and we I don't want to boast, but I have hope of glory. You can boast about this. We boast about what we do. We boast about our kids, our grandkids, don't we? Our family, our jobs, our house, our cars. We boast about all sorts of things, or how much fun we have in our lives. I'm living my best life. Boasting, boasting, boasting. Countercultural boasting is boasting about the hope of God's glory for us. We boast in that. My Bible is printed in a very interesting, unique way. This verse, and not only that, oh, this gets so exciting. We are boasting in the hope of glory, but we also boast in, and that's the end of my page. Right there is where my page ends. Okay, now I'm all excited. Don't turn the page. Because you know what it says. We also boast in what? Our sufferings. Our sufferings. And we prayed. We prayed for one another's sufferings. And we continue to pray. Paul says we are boasting in those sufferings. This is tough. This is painful. And usually, if we recognize in ourselves, our sufferings are not anything we boast about. Maybe the list of medications that we take for our sufferings, we boast about those. But here, we're boasting in our sufferings. Why? Just because they're good in and of themselves? No. Suffering produces. Now, this is just review. All of you have heard this. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. It's only if we're walking together with wisdom, delighting in God's presence, that we can actually appreciate and recognize the value of these things. The world will tell us suffering is not anything to boast about. It is to be avoided. Suffering will produce anxiety. Suffering will produce bitterness. Suffering will produce a lot of negativity, and suffering loves company, right? Let's make everybody miserable. If we're walking with wisdom and listening to wisdom, wisdom that is delighting in God and wisdom that delights in humanity, remember, suffering produces endurance. Allow it. Suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. Some will ask me, do we really have hope? How do you have hope? How do you know you have hope? Right here, Paul reminds us, hope does not disappoint us because the love of God being poured out into us through the Holy Spirit. These are facts. Don't get distracted with folly. Listen to wisdom. Value what wisdom values. I would like to conclude or make a concluding statement by reading a different part of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 17, the words of the wise. Incline your ear and hear my words. Apply your mind to my teaching, for it will be pleasant if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made them known to you today. Yes, to you. Have I not written to you 30 sayings of admonition and knowledge to show you what is right and true, so that you may give a true answer to those who sent you. May that be our desire as we listen to the voice of wisdom.
Thank you, Lois, for your encouragement today, that we want to be listening to the voice of wisdom, to the voice of God. Anybody hear the voice of God in an odd way this week? Or did something happen? Would you think, was that the voice of God? This article's been lying here for a week. I never read it. Oh, maybe I'll look at it. Yeah, that was a good thing. Good thing I did that. It was amazing. But then, was that God? Pretty good, I think. But, you know, that's what faith is. It's kind of a hope, in my experience. And you keep going with it as long as it seems like God is with us. And the scripture tells us that God is with us. So that's the other really important part. We have a song that we've sung many years, For God So Loved Us. It's 167. In the blue book. Some of you maybe learned it first in German. Did anybody learn it first in German? Any? Maybe you don't even. For Gott ist die Liebe, lass mich. Yeah, I want to just spend a little bit of time here. Look at the chorus, 167. You know, the English, and when things are translated, they don't often say the same thing, right? Here in English it says, love so unending, I'll sing thy praises, God loves his children, loves even me. In German, which is how I first learned it, it says, it doesn't say love so unending, it says, therefore I will say again, God is love, God is love, God loves me. So there's different translations. When we get different languages, we don't always get the same meaning, you know. So let's sing this one in English. Four stanzas, let's stand, please.
You may be seated. Our order of service is a little different today. That's okay, we still gather together to worship. I'd like you to take the Sing the Story, and we'd like to read the Litany 190. I'll ask you to participate in this reading, thinking about our neighbors, our friends, our strangers beside us, and how we can include them in our lives. Let's read together. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we know and love.
Neighbors
and friends, sisters and brothers, a community of kindred hearts. People of God, look about and see the faces of those we hardly know. Strangers, sojourners, forgotten friends, the ones who need an outstretched hand. People of God, look about you and see all the images of God assembled here. In me, in you, in each of us, God's Spirit shines for all to see. People of God, come, let us worship together. Join me in prayer. Lord, we have come together today and have heard your words and praised your name. We have come together for 1 hour of worship from a week filled with many experiences and activities, some filled with joy and excitement, some filled with sorrow and despair. We have seen you at work in our world and feel blessed and thankful, but sometimes we wonder where you are and feel far from you. We are gathered as a congregation and come before you with all honesty we can muster. We give you what we are. Create in us clean hearts and fill us with your Spirit to continue to reach out to neighbors, friends, and strangers and show your love. Amen.
We want to sing a couple of songs of praise, and the first one in our blue book is Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. It's 121. I first learned this by listening to probably my grandfather Drieger singing it in church in German, Großer Gott, wir loben dich, and back then they had two services. One was German and English back in Leamington there. Maybe I learned it before that even. On the bottom of this page, I just want to draw your attention to this. It says the text is anonymous. The legend is that while we talk about church fathers, it gets Ambrose and St. Augustine. This is like around 300 or 350. These people lived, and one of them was being baptized, Augustine, and Ambrose, and he kind of wrote this together. And it's basically a statement of what we believe. It's so important that Martin Luther, who, when he's the one that started basically the Protestant Reformation with the Lutheran Church, named after him, he put this right next to Nicene Creed and Apostles' Creed. It was so important because it just summarizes our faith. So this is something that was written, like it says in the text there. What is the date? It says 4th century, so the 300s. But notice the melody is like 1,200 years later. That's Isaiah Oat. I was thinking, I got to throw in a bit of Low German for some of us. That's old, 1,200 years old when the thing was actually put to first melody, and now we're singing it even longer ago. So let's stand and we'll sing these four stanzas.
Thank you.
that's an interesting way to say it, yeah? Father, Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, three, we name thee, and we own the mystery, because it's always a little bit confusing, too. The next song we want to sing is number 69, The Lord is King. And this song, the man who wrote it was a rich nobleman back in those years, 1700, I think, or something. Nicholas von Zinzendorf, 1742. Back then, the Christians were being persecuted. Mennonites were too. And he let people who were being persecuted live on his property. And this, the persecuted were very much into personal faith. And that the word that's often used for that is pietism, if you're pious, if you're very much devoted to God. And you know, that pietist movement also moved to Russia, where some of the ancestors of some of the people in our congregation come from. And there was a church split because of that. Some people said, yeah, Jesus is my savior. And he said, what are you talking about? That we can't, that's not the language we use. So one of the splits is the Mennonite Brethren, like the Bridgeway Church here, and the other group, the Kirchliga, which we belong to. So we have that tradition that we're singing, and we've sung so many different things in our book. This is one of them. And let me see. We'll sing all four stanzas, please.
Standing for the benediction. May the grace of Christ that daily renews our lives and the love of God that enables us to love all persons and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that unites us as one body lead us into the week and the life to come through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And the last song we want to sing is actually that, May the Grace of Christ our Savior, 423. It's straight out of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, and written by a former slave owner, John Newton, who became a Christian, and he also wrote the song Amazing Grace, which is way more familiar. When we have new hymnals, sometimes they don't use the melody we're used to. So this one isn't really like, what? That's not how we used to sing it. You're probably used to singing, May the grace of Christ our Savior. This one's different, so Marion will play through it.
May the grace of Christ our Savior.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.